from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
I actually am no good on a script. I don't do well reading what someone else has written for me. In fact, I write so uniquely. If you ever read my blog, and I'm actually working on a summer blog post, which will feature some photos that you've been asking for, but that's all I'm going to say. I did intend to have it done before Labor Day. It's just been one heck of a summer. Work stuff and family stuff and getting adjusted to being a wife and being married. And I'm not saying that as an excuse, only as the reason why I don't have as much time to devote to writing. But I have finished about half a blog post, and it will soon have photos and will be available before we get to Labor Day. All that to say, I write the way that I talk. And so when I try to read what someone else writes for me, it goes woefully off the rails. I don't do well. In fact, I work with Westwood One on a feature called Today in Women's Sports. There are a handful of us around the country, females, who provide the audio for the script. Right? So every night it highlights a different sport or accomplishment, women specifically. And it's a 60-second feature, and it's great. And it really does capitalize on the newfound popularity of Caitlin Clark in the WNBA. For instance, Tina Charles, she just moved into second place on the WNBA's all-time scoring list. She's still more than 3,000 behind Diana Taurasi, but a huge accomplishment for her as a member of the Atlanta Dream.
Just where I was last year and just where I am today. It's just really just full circle for me, just in my career, for it to have been done alongside Tanisha, one of the most impactful teammates in person that I have in my life. I'm just very thankful. A lot of gratitude for to be on the court with Diana, to be behind Diana, to be in the same sentence. It's just unimaginable. And I, you know, God just really gets the glory. You know, I thought I was done playing last year. So for me to be here right now, it's just really special. I'm sure I'll have a lot of emotions later tonight, but it's just really special for the belief of Tanisha and Dan that they have in me to be here right now.
So Tina Charles and Diana Taurasi actually both went to UConn. They previously were teammates for USA Basketball in different Olympics. They'd been teammates in the WNBA as well. So she mentions Taurasi because Diana is the only one who's ever scored more points in the WNBA than has Tina Charles. And she also passed a Hall of Famer, so you wonder what that says about her career. So it was Tina Thompson who was second on the list. Now it's Charles with 7,491 career points in her 13th WNBA season. So see, that's something you can hear on Today in Women's Sports. But even when the producers at Westwood One send me the script, they give me the freedom, the autonomy to tweak it a little bit so it sounds more like me. So I don't know if you all write the way that you talk, but I definitely do, which is why I could never be an anchorman. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence at A-Law Radio. On our Facebook page as well, and our phone number 855-212-4227. 855-212-4227. People ask me a lot, why don't you take more calls? Why do you take so many calls? I really can't please everyone. Honestly, it comes and goes in waves. The fact that so many of you wanted to weigh in last night when we were talking about radio as a medium and what it means to us personally and how we fell in love with it and all that jazz, that was really cool. But we obviously don't take phone calls the way that some other radio shows or radio networks do. Instead, we kind of sprinkle them in and we want them to be on topic and all that stuff. But I do love that when we have a topic or a question for you that's off the beaten path, you all show up in a variety of ways, both on the phone as well as on social. Now, National Radio Day was August 20th, or it is August 20th every year. I probably should write that down. I hadn't known that until I saw it on social myself going back to Tuesday. The radio medium is still essential. I don't think that you could say, even though it's changed and the way that people consume radio has changed, I don't think you could say that radio is dying a slow death or is on the way out. And to that end, I found this really cool study from the Pew Research Center about the state of radio in the United States. You ready? This is awesome. I swear this is great validation. Again, from the Pew Research Center, 8 in 10 Americans ages 12 and older listen to radio in a given week. And I don't mean radio on their phones. I don't mean radio on their devices. I mean terrestrial radio. That's what it's called when you're listening to an actual radio station, either in your car with a radio or at home with a radio. Now, a lot of people can't access radio on their phones, but 8 in 10 Americans, that's 80% of Americans older than age 12, listen to the radio every week. And even though radio listenership dropped in 2020, oh my gosh, that's a little depressing considering that I was working my rear end off to provide quality radio from a spare room in my house for 2.5 months. It stands to reason, of course, that when you're spending more time at home, you're doing less time listening, right? Because a lot of people listen in their cars or when they're in transit. So weekly radio listenership in the U.S. has actually stayed about the same the last 2 years, even though it was down in 2020. 82% of Americans ages 12 and older listen to terrestrial radio any given week. Now, in 2019, it was 89% of us over the age of 12, but then it was down to 83% in 2020. So yeah, now it's steady the last 2 years. So that's pretty cool. 8 in 10 of us, nearly half of U.S. adults, claim they sometimes or often get their news from the radio. That includes me. Sure, do I look at headlines on my phone? Absolutely. But I'm a radio junkie, and I'm a news radio junkie. I've been listening to news radio since I was in college. So every single night when I'm driving into work, I have a roughly 40-minute commute, and then I have a 40-minute commute home. Actually, it's a little shorter on the way home. I have a 35-minute commute on the way home. I'm listening to the news. Unless I have a playoff game to listen to, or if it's a Monday night or a Thursday night during football season, if the game's not done when I have to get in the car, well, then Princess Leia and I are tuned into sports. But otherwise, I listen to the news. That's how I get my news. So according to the Pew Research Center, 47% of U.S. adults get their news from radio at least part of the time. However, only 7% of U.S. adults say they prefer radio for getting their news. That does not include me. I'm in the 7%. Oh, I should say it does include me. I'm in the 7%. I prefer radio as a news platform. Another interesting stat. White and black Americans equally likely to get their news from radio at least part of the time. That's 48% for both. 42%, I don't know why my voice just did that. Hold on. Me. You know what it is? I'll tell you the truth. This is probably why my voice is weird tonight. Because we have had our windows open the last 3 days. I don't know how this is happening in August, but the temps in my neighborhood have been down in the low 50s. And we've had our windows open instead of the air condition on, but that triggers allergies for both Bob and I. And so, yeah, I think my voice is a little huskier, raspier, who knows, sounds more like a lounge singer, because we've had the windows open. But wearing a long sleeve shirt for the first time this year, going back to the winter, of course, and also wore sweatpants on Wednesday.
I've got a little jacket on right now.
It was glorious. Yes, you do. You're dressed for fall as well. A taste of fall. Now, it is supposed to get warmer again in our area. Probably many parts of the country have not tasted fall. I know our families in Texas are still dying in triple digit heat, but this is why I love the Northeast. It's why I love being north of the Mendoza line. Okay. Back to it without a voice. This is quality radio right there. 42% of Hispanics are likely to get their news, at least some of the times, from radio. Manny Rodriguez is cheering, of course. How likely are you to get any news from the radio?
So growing up, I actually always had a radio in the bathroom. So when I was sent to sleep before the Yankee game would end, I would wake up on my own, by my own, on my own volition at like 2:15, because at 2:15 at 10:10 wins, I could just go into the bathroom, turn on the light, and listen to the Yankee score. Because I mean, I grew up listening to news radio also, and I mean, I get a lot of my news from there. And I mean, again, I have a little radio in the bathroom that you turn on the light. Every time you turn on the light, radio goes on. I'm listening to the news. It's awesome.
Mm-hmm. Now, for those of you who think that radio is only for old people, I actually got a couple of messages online about how radio is for older people. That's not true. 35% of Americans 18 to 29, that's more than a third of Americans 18 to 29, say they get their news from the radio at least part of the time. And I know we have listeners who are in that age category who tell me that they listen and they get their sports news from us, which is cool. Okay. One in five U.S. adults, that's 20% of us, often get local news from radio stations. So meaning not a national network like an NPR or a CBS, something like that. Instead, you get local news from radio. Now, more of you get your local news from TV stations, but obviously higher now than those of you who get your news from newspapers, daily newspapers. Audiences for public radio have declined in recent years. In fact, the top 20 NPR-affiliated radio stations have seen a major decline in their weekly audience. So that's one part of radio that's seemingly losing listeners. Average revenue at news-focused radio stations in the U.S. remains lower than before the pandemic. And that's something that we're all dealing with in this industry. If you haven't noticed, a lot of stations are laying off hosts. They're laying off people behind the scenes. A major part of that is because the advertising revenue has not rebounded. Pre-pandemic, it's not rebounded to those levels. Now, I think it's sports. Football is huge in that regard. We get to football season and companies start to spend money on advertising. But this is one area where there's major concern when it comes to radio and the revenue that companies can make on radio. So as much as you may listen and you believe that radio is vital, I do too. What will keep radio afloat is how much revenue comes in. It's like any other business. And those stations that focus on news, their average revenue is still down, lower than before the pandemic. So that's not rebounded. I love this one from the Pew Research Study. Most radio journalists feel connected to their audience. Now, they didn't ask me, but I would say we have an incredible connection here on After Hours. 6 in 10 radio and podcast journalists, so nearly 60%, felt extremely or very connected to their listeners. Love that. And that's higher than those who write for a living, those who are talking heads on TV, or those who do online specifically. All right, so radio, we talked about this last night. Radio has a much more intimate and intense connection than any other medium, which is one thing that makes it unique. Now, here's something interesting, and I think radio is evolving in this direction. This won't come as a surprise to you, but the share of Americans who listen to podcasts is up substantially over the last decade. So as of last year, 42% of Americans, 12 and older, listen to at least one podcast every month. And this goes back to the pandemic when people were listening more and more to podcasts. Remember the rise, and I mean meteoric rise, of true crime podcasts? That's something that's remained steady. Yeah, so going back to 2013, only 12% of American adults, listen to a podcast a month. But now it's up to 42%. And that includes me. I love podcasts. Younger adults are more likely than older adults to listen to podcasts. So 2/3 of Americans between 18 and 29 say they've listened to at least one podcast in the last year, which I don't know. I don't love that sample size. The number for seniors, 65 and older, is just 28%. Again, with a podcast in the last year. But I know for damn sure, our audience is very engaged with our podcast. We can see the numbers. Oh my gosh, during Super Bowl week, they are skyrocketing, which is awesome. But the reason that we have, I would say, maybe a higher podcast listening rate. That's an awkward phrase. A higher rate of people who... No, a higher rate of podcast listening, she said, is because of our hours. People want to hear the show, but it's tough, right? Unless you work overnight, you're either getting up early or you're going to bed late. And it's hard sometimes to keep up. And so the podcast is a great tool. Something else that I know about podcasts, there are 8,942,000 of them, ranging from 3 weekly listeners to millions.
Is that an accurate number?
It's an accurate number. Everyone and his brother and the mailman have a podcast. Every one of them. So here's what sets them apart. If you have a name or you have a platform where you can promote them. One of the challenges that I approach in my class at Syracuse is how brand new voices in the marketplace can stand out in what is a very crowded field. There are millions of podcasts. How can you get yours to stand out? There are millions of radio shows and radio voices. How do you get yours to stand out? Well, having a platform is one way, which is why I love network radio. It's still far more valuable than a podcast any day. But I do love to promote our podcast so that you can listen on demand. Chicago Johnny is in Vegas. Welcome to After Hours.
Good morning, Andy. The reason why I love radio is because, as you know, I live in Las Vegas, and so I've had a lot of exciting things happen to me this year. And I can tell you this, that meeting you, Jay, and your husband, Bob, is definitely one of the top five.
You're sweet.
And
wait, that tops even getting asked to be part of a movie?
No, that's something totally different. That's unexpected. Now, as far as that's concerned, they are mailing me the script. And then I have to, see where my parts would be. And
are you going to practice in the mirror?
I don't know.
You're going to find someone to read lines with you? If you need to call up and practice your lines here on the show, we're happy to help.
Hey, I guess who's going to be the producer of the movie?
Who?
Robert De Niro.
Whoa! You want to talk about big time? You're big time, Chicago Johnny.
No, I'm not. But they are going to fly me to Universal Studios. And That's when I'm going to do the audition.
That's amazing. Now, when is that coming up? We're going to need to follow you on this.
I think it's going to be somewhere in the middle of September.
Oh, my goodness. Are you nervous?
You better believe I'm nervous. Yeah. I mean,
you're going to do great.
I just did one little commercial for the Bond Museum.
Except the thing is, though, having done the tour with you, I know that you are in character, so to speak, when you are giving tours at the Mob Museum. So I'm quite certain that this will be a comfort zone for you because you are used to speaking to people, first of all. And these are people who are staring at you and following you around. You're used to talking about this particular subject, and you are used to playing up that role and playing up that character. I know very well that Jay thinks you're part of the mob going back to your younger days because of how well you play the role.
I don't know what you're talking about.
See what I mean? You're perfect.
I don't know nothing. So, but I will definitely keep you informed on what's happening and when I am going and what's going to happen. So,
all right. Sounds good. But, we're rooting for you.
But, yeah, I just want to let you know that, you know, listen, hey, Fred, you're talking about the radio.
Mm-hmm.
I listen to the news, WBBM Chicago, on my Alexa.
There you go. All you have to do is tell her to play the news on WBBM.
That's it. Mm-hmm. And that's how I got to hearing you. I just said, play the score. And that's how I got to hear you.
That's awesome.
And then all of a sudden you said, when I get to Las Vegas, first thing I got to get to, I got to get to the Mob Museum.
Mm-hmm.
And as soon as I heard that, I got to give her a call.
Right, right.
And that's how we met.
It was kismet.
So it was meant to be. But I will keep you informed.
Okay.
And let you know what's happened.
All right.
Have
good to talk
show,
to you. Yes.
And I'll talk to you again.
You talk to us and let us know how it's going. We'll be rooting for you, of course.
You got it.
Chicago Johnny. He is in Vegas now, but he's from Chicago. We know he's connected to the mob. We're still investigating the actual connection and how deep it runs. But now, having watched The Godfather, I'm all about it. And my husband and I are doing a movie night on Friday, Godfather 2. You guys, I can finally join the club. Now, there's a bit of a debate going on because some of you have told me that all three of the Godfather movies are terrific, but more of you have told me that Godfather 3 is awful and it's not very good. Manny, have you seen the Godfather trilogy?
Not a split second.
Okay, so then I wasn't alone on my island. Manny is also completely uninformed. I will just tell you it's worth it. Even though the movie is from the 70s, it's like Star Wars, right? Star Wars, it transcends eras and is also a movie that's still relevant and still great, even though it was released in the 70s. So The Godfather was awesome. I don't know that I'll like it as much if I don't have the live symphony orchestra playing in my living room. But we are planning on watching Godfather 2 this Friday, so I can't wait. Really excited. Something to look forward to this coming weekend, which is, by the way, one of the last weekends of summer. Don't say it. Don't say it, Amy. That's it. People driving off the road or turning off their radios all over the country. 855-212-4227. Coming up, Justin Verlander returns for the Houston Astros. And did you hear the latest moment from Mike Gundy that's can't miss radio in this case? My gosh. I worked with him when I used to live in Oklahoma and cover football at both Oklahoma State and the University of Oklahoma. He's perfected the art of running his mouth without much of a V-chip. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
You are listening to the After Hours podcast.
1-1 is drilled high and deep into left field. Alvarez at the track, at the wall. It's off the wall. Wong is at third. It goes past Alvarez. Connor comes home. He will score. It's a wall ball double for Seydon. Two down, top nine, 3-1 Red Sox. The pitch is crushed high and deep into right field. It is out of here. It's another ninth inning home run for David Hamilton. Insurance in Houston, and it is 4-1 Red Sox.
On the Red Sox radio network, they get the best of Justin Verlander in his return. A day game at Minute Maid Park. But you can imagine the Astros are glad to have their former ace, a future Hall of Famer, Cy Young Award winner, MVP, stop me if you've heard this before. They're happy to have him back on the mound for the first time since June. He's 41 now. He's even older than Aaron Rodgers. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Allows a couple of runs on four hits. Goes into the fifth inning. 76 pitches. How did he like how he came out of the gate?
First inning, obviously Duran, super hot. Extends it into a double and then scores on a blooper. And just trying to find my way. Obviously, it's not the way you want to start the game. But not like there was a ton of hard hit. Second inning, similar. And just kind of kept telling myself, all right, just find your groove. And went back out for the third and really started to find it and was able to settle in.
Stop talking about me.
That was not Justin Verlander. Why, Aaron Rodgers, are you in the middle of every conversation? So Justin throws first pitch strikes to 14 of the 20 batters he faced. But you hear him there talking about how it took him a minute to kind of settle in and find his way, so to speak. Overall, though, just to get out there and pitch again is a big deal, especially as the Astros are trying to maintain a hold on top of the AL West.
I felt like the stuff was pretty good. And as the game went along, kind of the location started honing in and mechanics felt good. So, was happy about it.
Other positive for the Astros is that Alex Bregman returned. Now, he was only gone for a handful of games, but he did lead off in front of Yordan Alvarez. So no Jose Altuve right now. But he ends up with a leadoff home run. So for Bregman to be back in the lineup is a big deal. And for Justin Verlander to be back, also a big deal, even though they lost. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Keep telling you, we're not going to scoreboard watch. And yet, I want to see what's happening in the wild card standings. Because that's where Major League Baseball is keeping you sucked in. We're not quite to the stretch run yet. But in both leagues, there are so many teams that are still a part of the wild card races. More in the National League, plus we've got the division races. But in the American League, you've got the Orioles, at least right now, and this is by thousandths of a percentage point. The Orioles are in that first AL wildcard spot. The Twins and the Royals, how about that? AL Central coming in hot. The Twins and Royals are the next two wildcard teams. Now the Red Sox, who kind of went through a swoon recently. Remember when, and that I know because I was there on the Saturday of the series, when the Astros were in Boston a couple weekends ago, they got swept. So the Red Sox may be riding the ship a little bit, back-to-back wins over Houston, and they're 3.5 out of that last wild card. Rays and Mariners, they're farther back. It'll take a little more effort. Now in the National League, right now, Diamondbacks and Padres, if they don't catch the Dodgers, have a healthy lead for the first two wild cards. Then you've got the Braves. And coming up in 2 hours, not even 2 hours, actually, so final hour of our show, we'll talk to our friend Sandra Golden from our Atlanta affiliate about the Braves as well as the Falcons. Boy, have they made a splash lately. And so the Braves, despite all of their injuries, they are sitting in the third wild card spot in the National League. And get this, the Mets are only a game and a half behind them. So it's East and West flavor right now for the NL. Giants are still in the mix as well, 3.5 out. And believe it or not, the Cardinals below 500, but they're only 5 out. They just have gone through a really tough stretch as well, losing 7 of 10. This is what baseball wants. You to remain engaged and interested even after football kicks off. This weekend, college football, we're just 2 weeks away. On this Thursday, we are 2 weeks away from Ravens and Chiefs kicking off the NFL season.
I don't know.
He's got such a great laugh. It's terrific. As I was talking about with Aaron Judge being good for baseball, whether you love or hate the Yankees. Very few people are indifferent about the Yankees. That's how it is with the Chiefs. Very few people are indifferent about the Chiefs. But Patrick Mahomes is terrific for football. Man, the league is in good hands.
People made fun of my voice for my entire life.
And yet, you always remember him. You know who's talking. Who laughed more distinctly? Patrick Mahomes or Kawhi Leonard? I just got Manny off guard. Actually, you recovered nicely there, Manny. That was impressive. It only took you about a second and a half to find Kawhi Leonard.
Thank goodness Kawhi's first name begins with a K-A.
Right.
And right at the top.
Mahomes is M-A or is it P-A?
You see, it's P-A, but we got a couple of Patrick Beverleys that throw me off. That's the issue here.
Weak ass Clippers.
855-212-4227. We do love Patrick Bev. Pat Bev. He's
I'm a foxhole guy.
A fairly consistent Hall of Fame candidate. We have not done the Hall of Fame in so long. Gosh, it's one of the things I've missed this summer. It would have been great to feature an induction or two this summer, but without a steady producer, it's kind of tough to pull off. But we'll get back to that. All right, coming up, I just found some After Hours Some summertime swag. And Jerry Jones. Uh-huh. He's got an update, sort of, on CeeDee Lamb. I guarantee you this week, he's not falling back on the there is no sense of urgency.
Excuse me.
Here's our latest sports update. And here's Pete McCarthy.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a gel flex grid. The gel flex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the gel flex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options, from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
It's an empty gun, two-man stack on the right. Elliott and Gallup, three receivers split left. Snap to Prescott. They blitz him. He throws it left. Lamb's in the corner of the end zone. And he walks under the ball. Touchdown to CeeDee Lamb.
On the Dallas Cowboys radio network, we've seen a lot of Dak Prescott to CeeDee Lamb. Will we see it in the season opener? That is the question. There are contract offers. There are proposals out there for CeeDee Lamb, and yet still nothing. As for the Dallas Cowboys, they continue on. They've got to prep. They've got to do what they need to do to be ready for the season opener, which is upcoming, and yet they don't have their top wide receiver. Now, recently, I would say in a more composed and prepared fashion, owner and general manager Jerry Jones was answering questions about his top wide receiver. And he sounded, as I say, a little more measured than the last time we heard him when he was asked by reporters whether or not he felt a sense of urgency. And his response was no, no sense of urgency, to which he then had to clarify slash backpedal slash do a mea culpa.
Get me some oxygen.
But CeeDee is still not with the Cowboys while he's waiting for that new contract. And I'm not sure they've made a ton of progress, though Jones believes there is reason for optimism. In fact, he told reporters this week he is optimistic.
Well, I think I am, when I say that, doesn't sound too promising. The facts are that I believe we'll come together. I don't want to speak for him. That's what I'm trying not to do. But we wouldn't have offered him what we've offered him if he didn't want him to be here.
There are varying reports about what CeeDee Lamb has been offered. But Jerry Jones is saying, hey, I can't speak for CeeDee. That's smart. But I'm optimistic because we're continuing to negotiate. I guess some communication is better than no communication. Now, according to Adam Schefter, the longtime NFL insider, not only are the two sides continuing to negotiate, but he says that the two sides are not all that far apart. And he said that in multiple places, whether TV, radio, he's done his reporting, and he says the two sides aren't separated by this massive chasm. I'm paraphrasing there. Now, other insiders would tell you they're not even settled on the annual salary yet. And yes, Lamb is still holding out, though, of course, there's every reason to believe that he's in shape and that at some point, should they get this deal done, he would be able to step on the field week one. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Online at A-Law Radio. I don't know if Cowboys fans are frustrated. There's still a couple of weeks. Deadlines tend to spur action. And we know that CeeDee Lamb is looking for more than $30 million per year, wants to be the highest paid non-quarterback. So that would mean a fatter contract than Justin Jefferson. Supposed to make $18 million this season in what is the final year of his rookie deal. And again, we've heard varying reports about what the Cowboys are willing to offer him. One coming from Mike Garofalo on NFL Network is $33 million annually. Other numbers are lower. So it's really depending upon who you believe and where the sources are coming from. But what we do know is the deal's not done. That part we know. And so is the absence of Lamb a hindrance, a distraction? Is it keeping the Cowboys from getting ready for the season?
No, and I don't mean that to be insensitive to our fans or to CD. We're in good shape there, and we are having our promising talks. Say, well, why you keep talking? Won't you do something? Again, as in anything, it takes both of you there at the same time. But I believe it's got the proper amount of everything, emphasis, importance for everybody involved here, and we'll see how it goes.
All right, so more measured, more controlled, a little more mature answer than No sense of urgency at all. Why? Because I slept at a Holiday Inn Express last night, which was essentially what we heard from Jerry Jones going back a couple weeks ago.
That's a fact.
Now, if you're wondering about Dak's contract, of course he gets asked about it every time. It's a wide-ranging answer, which I'm not even sure offers any concrete anything, so there's no need to play it. Right now, the sense of urgency is for CeeDee Lamb. But the closer we get to the start of the season, the more finding common ground becomes paramount for both sides. CeeDee doesn't want to miss a game. He's given up major money to miss a game. But also, the Cowboys were a 12-win team last year, right? Were they a 12-win team? They were a 12-win team last year. Go with your first answer. They won the NFC East. They've got a lot of potential, I think. Not everyone agrees with me. Some people think they're going to take a major step back. But I say they're still in that window. Nailed it. 12-win team last year. I couldn't tell you all the records of every other team in the NFL last season, so please don't ask. But the closer we get to the start of the season, it behooves. When was the last time you heard behooves on the radio? It behooves both parties to get their rears in gear. So we won't, at this point, freak out. Right? We won't, Cowboys fans. Right?
That's a fact.
That's a fact. At A-Law Radio on our Facebook page, After Hours with Amy Lawrence. I referenced this last night, and we didn't have the audio to go along with it, but I think it's worth sharing. Pete Carroll just did his first interview since that emotional farewell press conference as the head coach of the Seattle Seahawks. Now, at the time, we were told he would be in an advisory role and would still be working with the team. But come to find out, that's not really the case. He's not been around the Seahawks much at all. And I can understand why he's not interested in doing that, since he still would like to coach. But also, I can understand why the Seahawks don't want him around their very young, new, fresh, bright, young coach. I said young twice just to emphasize that. He's young. He's the opposite of Pete Carroll. And a lot of the reports coming out of Seahawks camp is very similar. He's young. He's new. Not that he doesn't bring energy. Not that they aren't excited about what he can do in taking over for Pete Carroll. He comes from Baltimore, was the defensive coordinator for a couple of years. Now at 37 years old, he's got a fresh challenge. And again, there are a lot of people who would tell you this is exactly what the Seahawks needed. But for Pete Carroll, he kind of got Das Boot, kicked to the curb. So he's going back to college, but not to coach.
I could coach tomorrow. I mean, I'm physically in the best shape I've been in a long time. I'm ready to do all the activities that I'm doing and feeling really good about it. I could. I don't really. I'm not desiring it, you know, at this point. And this isn't the coaching season. You know, we'll see what happens. And I'm not really. I'm not waiting on it at all. I'm going ahead. I got other things that I want to do that I'm excited about. I'm kind of keeping it undercover here for a bit, but I will wind up working down at USC. I'm gonna wind up teaching down there.
Wow!
And I'm looking forward to that. It's going to be a really exciting endeavor when it all is finalized and all that.
Good to hear from him. Again, first time that he's done any interviews or made any public comments since he did his farewell press conference with the Seahawks. And that goes back to January, I believe. He's going to teach at USC, though he didn't reveal what class he would teach, but only that he would teach a class in the spring. So I guess that makes both Pete Carroll and I adjunct professors. We share that. How about that? On KJR Radio, I believe it's 93.3 FM, KJR Radio. He says he doesn't have the desire at this moment to coach, but he's in good shape. He could coach, and he hasn't ruled it out. He would like to coach again down the road, just at this point doesn't have that desire. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former all-pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Odyssey app.